fruit of the Spirit becomes really the essential evidence of the Christian life. What is the definition of fruit? Well, the word fruit is a metaphor meaning the result or expression of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian who is in union with Jesus Christ. The fruit is the manifestation of the nature of Jesus being lived out in the believer. Let's look at the characteristics of the fruit. There are 9 qualities or characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit as mentioned in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The word fruit is singular, indicating that these qualities are a unity like a bunch of grapes and are all found together in the believer. The first 3 virtues are habits of mind having their source in God. First, let's consider love. The Greek word is agape, and it embraces all of the other graces. God is love, and children of God are to love. This love is life-changing, it's self-sacrificing, undeserved, and unchangeable. This love in Christ sent him to the cross to die for sinners, and this love in us shows the world that we are his disciples. The classic scriptural definition of love, of course, is found in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And we certainly hear this in many weddings. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. It's also joy. And joy is a deep, abiding rejoicing which is centered in the Lord. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice." And that's from Philippians 4:4. It depends not on circumstances, as happiness does, but on abiding in Christ. And this is found in John 15:11, where the Lord talks about abiding in him. And this becomes the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit as you and I abide in the Lord. Then we have peace. Peace is an inner quietness and well-being. Through Jesus, we have peace with God because our sins are forgiven, according to Romans 5:1. But we also can enjoy the peace of God, the peace God himself has in the form of peace in every situation and area of our lives. The Apostle Paul talks to us about praying and casting our burdens on the Lord in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8, in order to have the kind of peace that God wants us to have. And we are to demonstrate peace in our relationships with others, according to Romans 12:18. We're to live at peace with all men as much as possible. So the first 3 virtues are habits of mind, love, joy, peace. The second 3 virtues are social in nature and concern the Christian's relationship to others. Long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. Long-suffering is patience, the ability to put up with others even though provoked by them, and this quality does not think of retaliating even though it's wrong. Kindness describes God's benevolence towards man. Since God acts benevolently toward us, then we should act benevolently towards others. Being kind. And then thirdly, being good. Goodness is a righteousness of soul and an action of doing good to others even when it isn't deserved. And so we have long-suffering, kindness, goodness, social, reaching out to others with the fruit and the love of the Lord. And then the last three virtues describe the Christian's general conduct, particularly as he is to be in himself. Faithfulness, this is the quality of being trustworthy or loyal. We're to demonstrate this quality like the faithful servant in Luke 16, verses 10 through 12. Then gentleness, it's a meekness and a tolerance. And then there's self-control, the quality of victory over the fleshly desires, and it's related to purity in mind and purity in conduct. So those are the three qualities towards ourselves: faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Then there's the development of the fruit. The fruit is not produced, of course, by us as Christians, but by the Holy Spirit. We must work with Him, however. And the Christian walk is a cooperative effort between God and us. We must be patient, because it takes time for fruit to grow, doesn't it? Well, how do we develop fruit, or allow it to be developed in us? First, we abide in Christ. Fruit grows in a Christian's life as he is joined to Christ. In Romans 7:4, and it remains in him, Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." John 15:4. Abiding requires the Christian to do three things to bring forth fruit. First, we need to study the Word. God's Word brings forth fruit in our lives. Secondly, pray. As we fellowship with Jesus in prayer, we become more like Him, and we should pray for the fruit to come forth in our lives. And then thirdly, trust. We must trust in and depend upon Jesus for everything, even as the branch depends totally on the vine for life and fruit. So study the Word, pray, and trust to bring forth that abiding relationship. Then we yield to the Holy Spirit. That means allowing Him to work. The Holy Spirit works within us to bring forth the characteristics of Jesus. He may use methods of tribulation or chastening to make us like Jesus. We must not resist Him or His work. So we allow Him to work. Then we handle sin as it's revealed. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and when He reveals sin in our lives, we need to confess it and repent of it. So then we also should walk in the Spirit. The Christian's life is to be led by walking in the Spirit under the control of the Holy Spirit. This, of course, requires effort and discipline on our part. And we need to walk worthy. As ambassadors of Christ, we are to live as worthy representatives of Him. Paul said in Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, "Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." And then we walk obediently. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's from John 14, verse 15. We evidence our love for Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit by obeying God's commands and leading. And then we walk victoriously. Walking in the Spirit requires that we do two things to be victorious. First, put off the old man, and secondly, put on the new man. To put off the old man, God says, quote, "Put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." Ephesians 4:22. We must die to sin and the old sinful nature. We must not indulge the lusts of the flesh and the works of the flesh. And anyone who does not bear fruit, Jesus said, he will cast into hellfire, in John 15:2-6. Then we put on the new man. God says, put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24. And he describes some of the qualities or fruit we are to put on in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Now, what are the benefits of the fruit? Well, a Christian's fruit brings benefits to God, to others, and also to himself. First, God is glorified. God shows us that we might bear fruit, John 15:16 says, and when we do, he is glorified. Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." John 15:8. And then others are influenced. We are known by our fruit, and we are to be witnesses for the Lord. Many will be drawn to the Savior by the fruit in our lives. And then finally, the Christian is transformed. As the Holy Spirit produces fruit within us, gradually we take on more and more of the nature of Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 3:18. This process is going to continue until we go to be with Him, when we will be just like Him. Our fruit will provide for us an abundant entrance into the Lord's kingdom, and our fruit will remain with us forever. The fruit of the Spirit. It is the very essence of the Christian life.